assassination attempts, Theo Von bearing his soul, all of that to come. But first, would you be kind enough to visit our website, FortisInstitute.org, /donate, why we've got our spring matching gift campaign. And thank you to all of the people who are so kind. We thank you for your trust. We thank you for your goodness to us. We do not take this stewardship lightly, and we are filled with gratitude for those of you who have participated in the spring matching gift campaign called No Retreat. If you have not yet, we would be very grateful, and truly, we will steward your gifts well. You can learn more about this ministry, what our goals and plans are, and what the Lord is doing here by visiting FortisInstitute.org/donate. Now, onto the assassination attempts in Theo Von.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, we are going to talk about this, but no, we're not going to talk about it like that. This is Wretched Radio, and no doubt the political talking heads. It's a big day for them, courtesy of an assassination attempt. Just one more assassination attempt. I do believe the total is now 7 assassination attempts on President Trump. This one not just aimed at the president, but the entire administration. It took place Saturday night, Hilton Hotel Correspondents' Dinner. A professor, a teacher anyway, at Caltech rushed the ballroom. And that dude, he was lightning. That guy, he must have stretched because that dude was booking, ran through security, firing shots in an attempt to assassinate the president and the entire administration. It's the recent attempt, and no doubt the political pundits, they are having themselves a field day, and we're going to let them. Why? Well, first of all, I'm not qualified to talk about political things. There, I said it. Second of all, I think that there are other areas of interest, questions that should be asked and answered from a Christian perspective. There are Christian things happening here, and we need to filter this because we have a foot in the political realm. Whether you like it or not, you and I, we participate in government. You and I participate in the realm of church. You and I participate in the realm of family. We have a foot in the political realm, and whenever something big like this happens in government, we do well to ask some questions, and they certainly can be asked from a political perspective, but others are doing that. Let's ask some Christian questions. Here's the first one. Why? Why is this happening? And why is this happening more and more? I do believe it is safe to say, because this is attempt number 7, no other president has had this many attempts. Now, they probably all had an attempt or 2. We're up to 7, and we're just about 6 years into his term with 2 more years to go. Why is this happening more and more? Now, if you turn on the MSNBC, no, Fox News probably, they're going to tell you it's because the guy was a liberal, woke, a progressive who gave $25 to the Kamala Harris campaign. That's why he did it. Well, I'm sure that's a part of it. That's what his manifesto said. But I think we can go deeper than that. This man wasn't a Christian. Christians don't shoot presidents. Christians don't endanger other lives simply because they're attending a banquet. This is happening because pagan people are acting like pagans. What can we do to stop assassination attempts? You probably say, well, nothing. That's not even my job. That's CIA, Secret Service. They're supposed to handle those things. Oh, there's something we can do. The Christian religion is salty and it's light, and it can invade these places, and it can change things. But how? And I think the answer is quite obvious. The theme that is repeated over and over and over again in the New Testament is salvation. If that dude were born again, he wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have done it. Not if he was genuinely born again, he would not have committed such an atrocious crime. But he wasn't born again. There are other people out there who are probably as unhinged as this fellow is. They might give it a go too. What can you do about it? Evangelize them, witness to them. If Christians were witnessing to more people, there would be fewer assassination attempts. There would be fewer. You list the crime. You list the perverted behavior. The response to something like this is not to simply look in the political realm and say, well, how can we trash the other side? Or what do we know? We need to shut these people down. They're just whack jobs. No, our response is we need to double down on our efforts to evangelize people. If you don't like seeing assassination attempts, share your faith. If you don't like the trajectory of our country, witness to somebody. I'm sorry. 1 Peter, it's the book of the Bible that we're in right now at Alpharetta Bible Church. Over and over and over again, Peter sneaks in. Sometimes it's overt. Sometimes it's a little bit more subtle. But the repetitious theme, and I think the major theme of the book of 1 Peter is evangelism. Now, this upcoming week, we're going to be talking about wives submitting to husbands. And on Sunday, we talked about submitting to a bad boss. Why? Why? What was Peter's reason for this? And I think the answer is found in 1 Peter 2:21, which follows it. You are called to this, and then it gives a description of everything that Jesus did to die for sinners. You are called to live a life just like Jesus did. How did Jesus live his life? Why did he live his life? What was his mission? And the answer is, he lived his life to die for sinners, that people could be saved so God could be glorified. That was his calling. You are called to this. And so now, next week, when Peter addresses wives, why is a wife supposed to submit even to an unbelieving husband that he might get saved? Why are we to submit to government that we might silence the mouths of evildoers? In other words, we are about the business of being living testimonies for the Lord Jesus Christ, that people will see our behavior, ask about the hope that lies within us, and we'll get to proclaim his excellencies. They'll get saved. God will be glorified on the day of visitation. That's why we're here. This is what you are called to. This is everybody's calling. And if we get about the business of answering that call, we'll simply see less. You're weary from woke politicians? All right, get them unwoke. How do you get somebody unwoke? Well, I guess you could try to persuade them with reason and logic, but knowing that the reason and logic machine is broken, they need a new mind. They need the mind of Christ. How does one get that? Well, you don't go to the dollar store. You need to be regenerated by the Spirit of God. How does he do that regenerating work? Through the proclamation of his word. We can make a difference. This nation can change, but it is not going to change from the top down. It has to change from the bottom up. It has to change in the heart level, not through persuasive speech, and not through showing stats and graphs to show which system is better, socialism versus capitalism. No, our mandate is clear. Proclaim his excellencies, and things will change. The political realm will change. It's fascinating, isn't it, in the context of 1 Peter 2, when Peter is writing to slaves who are being treated harshly by their masters, and they would be treated very harshly. It's estimated, this is speculation, but it's historical speculation. They think about half of slave owners were decent folks, pretty much, most of the time. About 25% could be pretty gnarly. The other 25%, look out, you could get cuffed for sneezing. You say, well, that's a silly example. No, that's actually a historical fact. A slave that was beaten because he sneezed at an inappropriate time. That was the treatment of many back then. Why didn't Peter say, get revolt, hello, or assassinate your master? Didn't do that, did he? Then there's a lot of reasons for it. But number one is you're called to where you are. You're called to this. The Lord has you there because that's where he wants you. And he subverts the institution of slavery, which is a purely human institution. He subverts it not by telling them to resist or rebel or revolt, but by doing what? Submitting. Doing everything unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not working for man. You're working for the Lord, said Paul. Ephesians 6, if I'm not mistaken. Man, that's what we're called to do. And what is the effect of that? How did Christianity ultimately subvert slavery? Well, more and more people were becoming Christians, and they understood black, white, purple. These are human beings. These are image bearers. And they wanted to set them free. What happened? What caused that revolution? It was not a revolution because Peter didn't give revolutionary advice. But in a sense, it was revolutionary because it's so counterintuitive. Instead, he addressed slaves, behave like this, this staggering response to ill behavior. But masters get addressed too. You have to answer to God too. And all of a sudden, there were constraints put on this institution for masters and for slaves. And ultimately, through the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, slavery was abolished because we wanted to. Why? Because hearts had been converted, hearts had been transformed, and they desired the liberation of people. That's how Christianity changes things. Scared, concerned, frustrated, angry from another assassination attempt, proclaim his excellencies. This is Wretched Radio.
No Retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. It means something. See, the church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little bit too exclusive, so we set them aside. And before long, you realize the gospel your church is preaching sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute exists to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the actual gospel. And right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give to the No Retreat Spring Matching Campaign will be matched dollar for dollar. Our goal is $250,000, and your gift will help launch two new podcasts, publish Todd Frill's book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, build biblical resources the church desperately needs, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. The gospel doesn't move backwards, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Lexicon. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and he is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why was this so hard to find? This is Wretched Radio. Cole Allen, a teacher at Caltech, attempted to kill the president of the United States and his entire administration on Saturday night. The world is agog. We Christians, we are pondering the issue from a different perspective. This is not a political issue. This is a spiritual issue. And if anybody can speak into it, it is we Christians, especially when he writes a manifesto where he invokes Christ. Suddenly, We have a very keen interest, don't we? So the question that I have is this dude who wrote an over 1,000 word manifesto, why did I struggle to find it on the internet? I'm not kidding. People talked about it. They would report a line or two. They would write about it. But I only found one place that actually where I could print it. And then printing it was just torture. I had to like copy it, put it into a different document because it was printing it sideways. It's like, why isn't this thing front and center? Oh, yeah. Because the contents indicate this guy was very, very woke. This is CRT to its almost to its logical conclusion. What do you ultimately need to do to the oppressor if they're evil? You got to take them out. And that's exactly what this manifesto points toward. This guy was woke. He talks about oppression. He also talks about, apparently at some point in his life, going to church. He seems to describe himself as a Christian. Kind of hard to find this document. I wonder why. Nevertheless, I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers the manifesto from one Cole Allen. He writes this, I am no longer willing to permit, and I'm not going to repeat it, he makes a bunch of accusations about the president that are quite grotesque. I'm no longer willing to permit a man like that and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes. So clearly, who was he after? Well, we think that he might have been going after the president. Really, we think that he wrote it. Administration officials, not including Mr. Patel, they are targets. Prioritized from highest ranking to lowest. Why are we speculating about this at this point? It's pretty clear what the dude was after. He wrote this, I would still go through most everyone here to get to the targets if it were absolutely necessary. Because people chose to attend a speech by a blank person like that. And thus they are complicit. But I really hope it doesn't come to that. So he was trying to avoid widespread collateral damage, but he was willing to create it if necessary. In other words, in his world, the ends justify the means. Now, here's his objections. Objection number one, as a Christian, you should turn the other cheek. Huh. So it appears that the fellow identifies in some way, shape, or form with being a Christian. So let us all with one voice as Christians say, no, he wasn't. This is not the behavior of a Christian. We reject this behavior. There is absolutely no justification for this type of behavior. And so if somebody, and probably somebody already has, well, the dude was a Christian, we need to shout, no, no, he wasn't. Just like I wish the Islamic community would do with terrorists and assassins. They should be willing to say, no, he's not a Muslim. I don't hear that. But we should be speaking it so that people do hear us say, this is not Christianity. So here's his rebuttal. He gives an objection. You should turn the other cheek because you're a Christian. Here's his response. Returning the other cheek is for when you yourself are oppressed. Ah, the word oppression. Actually, turning the other cheek is for you when you are offended, when you are slighted, when you are spoken ill of. Not sure I would call that oppression necessarily, but nevertheless, I'm not the person raped in a detention camp. I'm not the fisherman executed without trial. I'm not a school kid blown up or a child starved or a teenage girl abused by the many criminals in this administration. So therefore, he thinks of himself apparently as a hero, as a vigilante, who is not turning the other cheek. No, no, no. Instead, what he is doing is what is just in his perception. And this is the very definition of anarchy. And this is why the Bible gives us clear instructions about our posture toward government. Yes, there are certainly exceptions to our submission, but the posture of the Christian is we don't do stuff like this. This is just, we don't take, because we're not given the sword. We are not. We have a foot in that jurisdictional realm. not in an authoritative way, but because we participate in it, because we are citizens. But unless we're an elected official, we have no authority. We do not bear the sword. We are the church. We are the family. Those are our two jurisdictional realms. If you're a parent, then you have that authority. You raise your kids the way you want. Government shouldn't get involved. And frankly, pastors shouldn't be getting involved in the way you parent, unless, of course, you're sinning and it's a spiritual issue. That's mom and dad's realm. And that needs to be honored. Same thing with the church. Government, sorry, you can't come in here. This is not your realm of jurisdictional authority. This belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the one who regulates everything that happens here, because that is an assigned realm. Government is a minister. It's an assigned realm. They're given what? Authority. Now, it's a limited authority. It is over a vast number of people, but they are given the authority of punishing evildoers. That's their job. It's not ours. There's nothing inside of Christendom which suggests that we should go about the business of trying to assassinate presidents. We submit to bad governments. That's what we do. Because the alternative is absolute chaos and anarchy. If every single person can say, I'm disgruntled with the president, therefore, I'm going to do what is just in my eyes, sounds like the book of Judges to me, then nobody's going to stand for 10 minutes. Nobody's going to want to be president. It'd be utter chaos. We'd be living on the Lord of Flies Island. And therefore, God administers government, and he says, submit, even when they're crummy. Objection number three. You didn't get them all. Rebuttal. Gotta start somewhere. Objection number four. As a half-black, half-white person, you shouldn't be the one doing this. What does skin color have to do with everything? Why is it always skin color? Rebuttal. I don't see anyone else picking up the slack. So why do you even bring it up? Well, nobody should be doing this. Half-black, half-white, half-orange. What difference does it make? What does skin color have to do with all of these issues? Oh, yeah. CRT has made it an issue. Objection number five. Ready for this? Yield unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So glad he brought up that verse because it is a support verse for Romans 13. What did Romans 13 say? That the government is a minister of God. It is given a limited amount of authority over a vast number of people to do what? Wield the sword. That is their mandate. Punish evildoers, reward those who do good. That is a realm of jurisdictional authority. That's Caesar's realm. But Jesus also said, you render unto God that which is God's. So if you will, this is a support, I think, of the church realm, where we handle spiritual matters, where we handle issues of the soul, where we handle, yes, second tablet, but first tablet issues. There's also the family realm of jurisdiction, and these three realms cannot be like the Jingle Bell Rock. Jingle bell. No mixing and mingling. The realms can't mix. The church can't tell parents when to put their kids to bed, because that's not the realm of authority that we're given. Parents get to do that. The government can tell the church what to do. And the church and the family can't be telling the government what to do with the authority of, hey, we've been given authority. Well, God, he draws some lines of authority. And the government is given the authority to bear the sword. Church handles spiritual matters. Parents handle family matters. Now listen to his rebuttal. The United States of America are ruled by the law, not by anyone or several people. Oh, so we submit to the law, but not to people, is the argument. Quote, insofar as representatives and judges do not follow the law, no one is required to wield them anything so unlawfully ordered. That's a little bit of a tricky sentence. If the government commands you to sin, you don't do it. If the government forbids you from obeying a command of God, we obey God, not the government. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying anything unlawfully ordered. In other words, if I don't think that they should be giving us that rule of law because I think it's unlawful, then I do not have to submit to those people. Furthermore, his argument is, I can take them out. This is the book of Judges. And this is why Peter and Paul are both emphatic. Christians are a submissive people. If everybody is allowed to make this decision, I don't think that that is lawfully ordered. It is utter chaos. And we would be living in a perpetual bloodbath. And that is why the Bible has jurisdictional realms of authority. We are the church. We obey God in every one of these realms, but we submit to the government. The alternative, Scarface would have nothing on what America would look like if we were not an orderly, civilized, and submissive people. This is Wretched Radio.